Ganga, by the body which has been burnt to ashes, Sangena, by contacting the water of the Ganges, Swayataha, went to the heavenly planets, Sagara Atmajaha, the sons of Sagara. Akim, what to speak of? Punaha, again. Shadeha, with faith and devotion. Devim, unto Mother Ganges. Sevante, worship. Aye, those persons who. Dritavataha, with vows of determination. The translation, simply by having water from the Ganges come in contact with the ashes of their burnt bodies, the sons of Sagara Maharaj were elevated to the heavenly planets. Therefore, what is to be said of a devotee who worships Mother Ganges faithfully with a determined vow? One can only imagine the benefit that accrues to such a devotee. She could repeat. Simply by having water from the Ganges come in contact with the ashes of their burnt bodies, the sons of Sagara Maharaj were elevated to the heavenly planets. Therefore, what is to be said of a devotee who worships Mother Ganges faithfully with a determined vow? One can only imagine the benefit that accrues to such a devotee. So there's no purport to this text, so we'll read the next text, which has a purport. So text 14. Anaye tatparam ascharyam swardunga yari hodatam anancha charanam boja prasuttaya bhavachidaho. Because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadeva, she is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described herewith about her is not at all wonderful. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It has actually been seen that anyone who regularly worships Mother Ganges simply by bathing in her water keeps very good health and gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. This is the effect of bathing in the water of the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges is recommended in all Vedic Shastras. And one who takes to this path will certainly be completely freed from all sinful reactions. The practical example of this is that the sons of Maharaj Sagara went to the heavenly planets where water from the Ganges merely touched, when water from the Ganges merely touched the ashes of their burnt bodies. So, Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, it's interesting that this verse has come up when I just got here in North Carolina, because those of you who have been watching on the internet have seen that we just did a ceremony for a devotee, a very wonderful devotee. You probably knew him, right? Yeah, we knew him pretty well. Very wonderful devotee who was actually just loved by everybody in Fiji. He came from Slovenia, and we brought him to Fiji, and he was conducting the Bhakti Shastri classes and the New Disciple, ISKCON Disciple course, and actually just enlivening the devotees. Very wonderful devotee. And by Krishna's arrangement, he passed away very, very quickly. Some of you who have been watching on the internet have seen that he was preaching one day, went to Mangalarti, actually a very good example. How he went to Mangalarti the day he passed away. He didn't, never made an excuse about going to the morning program. Went to the morning program every day. Was sitting in class, and actually he was feeling so much pain from a headache that he collapsed in class. He was lying on the floor in class. And then he continued staying in the morning program until it was time to greet the deities. I mean, that's really determination. I mean, you can imagine when I describe what illness or what problem he had, how difficult it was. Actually, he had a headache. I mean, such an extreme headache, people sometimes complain about, you know, headaches and things like that. But he had a, which was discovered later, a very big tumor. And it's basically the size of a grapefruit. And it pushed the brain to one side. And that day he was taken to the hospital and they did a CAT scan, CT scan. And they discovered the tumor and it was too big to operate on. And then the tumor had an aneurysm, in other words, started bleeding and he went unconscious and he left this world. And the reason I say it was Krishna's desire, of course everything is Krishna's desire when it's outside of our control, is that by the particular circumstances which he passed away in, it enabled a lot of devotees to be around him chanting continually. Just like we have the story of Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga had served in the heavenly planets for a long period of time, fighting on behalf of the demigods. And the demigods, feeling very pleased, said to him, what benediction would you like? Now, I know if I was asked for benediction by the demigods, I would ask, I would have a whole list. I would say, you know, please, a few $1,000,000, you know, build us a new temple for the deities. Of course, that's a nice desire. But he didn't say that. All he said was, I want to know when I'm going to die. And the demigods told him, in a few minutes, you're going to die. And immediately he came down to the earth planet. And that's also very interesting, too, because the earth planet is especially made for self-realization, because there's a mixture of happiness and distress, and there's so many sacred rivers as being described here on the earth planet. It's actually more auspicious than anywhere, any universe in the material universe. I mean, the heavenly planets, you know, it's nice in the heavenly planets. It's like Hawaii on steroids, as they say. Like Prabhupada said in his... Hey, Prabhupada, I was listening to a class, and Prabhupada said, Hawaii is a leftover from Satya Yuga. Not trying to attract you all to go there. I tried to be GBC of Hawaii, but didn't work out this year. Maybe next year. So anyway, so the heavenly planets, everything is very beautiful, but in the earth planet, you have all these different locales, especially in India, where the Supreme Personality of God had enacted his pastimes. And you have all these sacred rivers, just like the devotees had at Sahasra Tirtha Jal, you know, 1,000 or 1,008 rivers that they collected the jal or the water from. And they used that water for actually bathing the Panchatattva and bathing the deities and so many celebrations. Because India is full of these sacred rivers. There's so many rivers in India. It's incredible. The Kaveri, the Gandaki, the Ganges, Yamuna. So many sacred rivers. So it's a very auspicious place. So Katvanga, he came down to the earth planet and obviously went to India. He didn't come to America. There's no description that he came to America or Hawaii or anything like that. And he took shelter of Krishna and went back to home, back to Godhead. So to know and to have the devotees know when you're going to pass from this world is actually very special. Just like with Maharaj Parikshit. Even if you can counteract it, why should you counteract it? With Maharaj Parikshit, he was given 7 days to live. And basically, he could have counteracted that curse of Sringi, the Brahmin's son. Instead, he just accepted and heard Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days and went back to home, back to Godhead. Very wonderful story. So anyway, so in this particular case, getting back to the story of Garga Muni, Krishna made the arrangement. He left very quickly and had all the devotees surrounding him. And not only that, but Krishna made the arrangement that I happened to be in Mayapur at that time. And the devotees could come immediately to Mayapur, bringing the ashes. And then we could do this wonderful ceremony in the middle of the Ganges. That ceremony we've posted on Facebook. Those of you who are interested in seeing it's on my Facebook timeline. Where we took a boat, went into this island in the Ganges, and immersed the ashes. One of the devotees who was with me, his name was Gokul Bandhu, he's actually from Fiji, and he was the one who actually carried the ashes, put them into the Ganges, and then the ashes were carried away. And so what that does, according to this particular verse, is it frees one from all sinful reaction. Of course, in this particular case, Garga Muni was already freed from all sinful reactions because he was completely absorbed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we know from the Harinam Chintamani, that even if one chants the holy name of the Lord on the platform of Namabash means, you know, accidentally, jokingly, meaning something else, like described about the Muslims who were chanting how horrible, haram, haram. It's a famous story. It's actually from the Puranas. It's not just a story that was a modern story told by Lord Chaitanya, but it's a story that was told in the Puranas that once upon a time there was a Muslim being attacked by a boar. A boar means a pig with big tusks on him. And the Muslim was saying, haram, haram, haram. How horrible, how horrible. And because it's, oh my Ram, oh Ram. Pretty good, isn't it? Oh Ram. And actually, you know, Sita's there too. Ha, hare, ha Ram, ha Ram. Then he went back to Godhead. So, with the Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shiva Nityamukto Vinatvam Nama Namino. The holy name of Krishna is different than Krishna. So anyway, so we did the ash ceremony, put the ashes in. It was very heart-wrenching experience. But it's like saying the final farewell to a particular individual when you see the ashes. It's also closure. That's another reason for doing the ceremony. Closure means that the person has now gone away. And he's entered, of course, as a devotee, he's entered into the spiritual world. And if one, even one's a non-devotee, like the sons of Sagara, they're actually more so devotional. They had offended Lord Kapiladeva. That's why they have been burnt to ashes. Even so, they became free from karma. So that's the power of the Ganges. And the power of the Ganges is not just from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Ganges washes the lotus feet of the Lord, as described in this verse. Emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and onto Dave. And of course, that's the story of when Vamanadeva kicked a hole in the universe. But the Ganges is also, let's say, the mercy of Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva catches the Ganges and keeps it in his matted locks and eventually lets it out. And it's also the mercy of all the sages that bathe in the Ganges. And of course, that's brought out in, previously in the story, where Bhagirath is trying to convince the Ganges to come down to the earth, and the Ganges says to Bhagirath that one of the problems if I come down to the earth is that all these rascals will bathe in me. The other problem was that you'd be too forceful, and Lord Shiva took care of that. But all these rascals would bathe in me, and they'd be just dumping off all their dirt and karma. Because it is a fact, when one comes in contact, karnam guna sangasya sabasa jama jonisu, even when a pure devotee comes in contact with the material energy, it's if one's not very careful, one's consciousness can become colored, just like in the case of Grandfather Bhishma. Grandfather Bhishma is a Mahajan, but he was in contact with materialists. Actually, not only materialists, like demoniac personalities, like Duryodhana, and other demoniac personalities. And because of that, because of eating impure food, his consciousness became polluted. And so we are so proud that we are thinking our consciousness will not become polluted. We can do anything, like Prabhupada said about his disciples. They'll eat any damn thing. Like in the beginning days of the movement, of course, Prabhupada or the devotees tell the story how they would go to the nearby coffee shop or donut shop, and they'd right next to the temple, or two or three doors from the temple, and they'd be eating whatever garbage that they were eating there, and then Prabhupada would walk by, and they just ducked down so Prabhupada wouldn't see them. But, you know, they didn't understand. It's not a question of like being caught by Prabhupada. It's that Prabhupada was interested in their welfare. It's not that Prabhupada was imposing upon them all these rules just to torture them. Sometimes people think that we impose upon them all these rules, like not eating food by non-devotees and things like that, just so, you know, just to do austerity. You know, there's this consciousness of austerity that you become Christian. You won't become Christian conscious by austerity. That's also brought out in the Bhagavatam, story of Jatabharata talking to Maharaj Rahugana. Rahuganai tapasa nayati. He says that you're not going to become Krishna conscious by engaging in tapasa, in austerity. Of course, austerity that pleases Krishna is another thing, but just austerity for austerity's sake. So the reason the spiritual master or the devotees give instructions on particular restrictions is for the benefit of the person. The spiritual benefit. So Prabhupada gave that instruction. I mean, it was actually one of his original statements, isn't it? Should not eat food cooked by non-devotees. I mean, other things like must attend morning meeting classes, things like that. Because the mind becomes wicked if one eats food cooked by non-devotees. So here you have a great devotee, Grandfather Bhishma, and he's saying, not saying, but he's acting in ways that were demoniac because he was influenced by the food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen. So Ganges, or Mother Ganges, she's worried about that. She's very attentive. She's worried, what about all these persons who will just come and try to dump their karma on me? And then Bhagirath assures her that also the great sages will bathe in you and they will actually make or purify you. It's interesting. So the great sages can purify even the Ganges. And of course, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Swadunapo Nishevaya, that association with a sadhu is more beneficial than repeated bathings in the Ganges. That's not to put down the Ganges or anything like that, but it's more beneficial than repeated bathings in the Ganges. And the reason for that, there's a reason for that. It's not that the sages are purer than the Ganges. The reason for that is that when one associates with the sages, one associates by the hearing process. When you associate with the Ganges, generally it's not, unless you have some spiritual ears or something like that, you're not hearing the Bhagavatam from the Ganges. But when you associate with the sages, then you get instruction and you get Krishna Katha. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvaro bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha tajoshanirashu apavargavartmani shudhavatira bhaktir anukramishati. By associating, hearing Krishna Katha, Satam prasangam, in the association of sages or devotees. Mamavirya Sambhidha talks about Krishna's heroic activities. Bhavanti Ritkarna, that transcendental nectar, Rasayana Katha, enters from the ear to the heart, and to Jishna Dasya Pavarga Vartmani Shraddha Vritti Anubhakti Anukramishti. Then one thing follows after another, which is Shraddha Vrittir. So Shraddha means faith. Actually, it's interesting that word Shraddha. We were discussing that the other day. How it means faith is very interesting. The real meaning of the word Shraddha means to give one's heart, like Shraddha. da, you know, to give one's heart. So that's really where we get faith from. You know, faith is not simply, you know, believing that something exists or believing that God exists. Like sometimes people in different religions, they'll say, you just have to believe and you'll be saved. We don't say that. One typical example I give sometimes is that the criminal believes in the police and in the government and in the Justice Department, and he's not honest just by his belief. He's honest if he has faith that by following them, of course, Shraddha, 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 Abhisar, Shraddha, Shraddha, Nishya, he has faith that by following the law, then I guess he'll be good. They won't go back to Godhead. So there's a difference between belief and faith. So faith means really your heart, whole heart is dedicated to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so that's what Shraddha means. So Shraddha Tir Bhakti. So one gets this, gives his heart to the Lord, and then gets a taste, actually at the same time, Ratira, and then love for the Supreme Personality of God, simply by the process of hearing. Just like all of us, or those of us who come from the West, we never got the opportunity to bathe in a sacred river before we joined the Hare Krishna movement. In fact, for many of us, we were in the movement many, many years before we got a chance to bathe in the Ganges. Actually, recently I bathed in the Ganges. I was fortunate. So, for many years. But why did we join the Krishna Conscious Movement? Just by hearing from the pure devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the most beneficial thing. And of course, if we get the opportunity, we do go bathing in the Ganges, we put the ashes of our ancestors in the Ganges, or our friends in the Ganges, whatever. And I'm seeing, as time goes on, because of my age, how many people's ashes I've put into the Ganges. Like last year, one of my godbrothers, I put his ashes in the Ganges. And this year, another person. As I was in India, three or four people who I knew passed away, disciples and friends and everything like that. So life is like that. As Krishna says in the Gita, that that wherever there is birth, death is certain. So we're reminded of this. So anyway, so let's see if there's anything else I wanted to talk about here. Oh yeah, another thing is that that Buggy Roth was actually very determined to serve his ancestors. So this is another point too, that we should be as determined, not just to serve our ancestors, to serve our parents or whatever, and give them Krishna consciousness, but to save people within this world. And this is the consciousness Bhagirath is exhibiting. So, anyway, any questions or comments about these things? Yes?
People that live in America who can't afford or, you know, just don't have the ability to go to Canada, India.
Yeah.
The Gandhi River, how do we have, you know, to get the benefits of that?
You hear from the devotees. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. You hear from the devotees, or you go to the temple and you take the Charanamrita of the deities, just like every morning we're taking Charanamrita, and that's also not different than the Ganges. It's the bathing water of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you get that benefit. Or you ask some devotee who comes back from India to bring some Ganges water, or Sahasra Tirtha Jal. And that way you can take baths in all the sacred rivers. Yeah.
It's a simple thing, but when I hear about somebody like your disciple, Garga Muni, passing away, he wasn't that old.
He's 44.
And so we know that life is very, very temporary, but yet, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he asked the Yaksha in the Mahabharata, everybody thinks, we put it out of our mind, but this we should use these things as a reminder about how temporary our life is.
Yeah, honey, honey, bhutani, yachan, kachantiya yamalayam. That was the answer. What is the most wonderful? Kimas chadi atalparam. What is the most wonderful thing? That we see everybody going to Yamaraj and we think we're not going to go to Yamaraj. Or we're not going to die.
Yeah.
You know, That's Yamalaya means to go to the place of death. So this is it was a wake-up call for me because, you know, here he is, a young man. You know, 44 is a young man. And of course, for some of you, that appears to be like an old person. Like Rodoku Ender, he's thinking, oh, that's old, 44. But, and just like, from one day, he's like chanting, dancing, serving, giving class, and the next day, gone. I mean, he just went within, you know, like 2 or 3 hours. He was gone. And then they did what they call pulling the plug on him because they were keeping him alive, his body alive artificially. But interesting, when they pulled the plug, devotees were there chanting, of course. Then they took him to the temple and he continued to breathe and live even without the artificial means. And as soon as he got to the temple, then he left with devotees chanting around him. And one thing the devotees did, which was quite unusual, because generally only for guru or sannyasi do you bring the body into the temple, you know, after the person passes away. But they did it for him. They had so much love for him. Simple, humble devotee, but just dedicated to preaching Krishna consciousness. That's a good example. No prominent position. He wanted to take sannyas. Of course, he was being given a hard time by the sannyas ministry because they're very bureaucratic. But just living very, very simply, and then the devotees loved him so much because it was simply encouraging everybody and just completely dedicated to Prabhupada's mission, preaching, going on in Harinam every day, and book distribution. Yes?
On the other side, we also say that austerity cannot give us bhakti. So how do we balance?
Well, we have to find out. Whatever place, this is the surrendering principles. Actually, it's interesting that word sharanam doesn't directly mean surrendering. It means to, you know, to enter or to approach, basically. Sharanam gataha. Even though we translate it as surrender. But I mean, it's the same thing. So the surrendering principles given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. So then you have Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes even feeding his disciples rice on Ekadasi so they would go out and preach Krishna consciousness, or even arranging for Western people when they were coming to visit Mayapur to have meat or have cigarettes. And Prabhupada actually even arranged one particular time for the people who were coming, or actually in this Bombay hotel, for there to be a smoking room. So we can understand from that whatever is more productive as far as spreading Krishna consciousness, pleasing the pure devotee, pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that should be accepted. You know, accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. So if you're going to engage in harsh austerities and your book distribution is going to drop, will Krishna be pleased by that? I don't think so. But if your book distribution increases by eating 20 sweet balls, I mean, long term, you have to think too. Nothing to get diabetes the next day and die. It's not your book distribution just increases one day, but you should think, you know, long term. Then do it. You know, whatever. Like Prabhupada said, the Sankirtan devotees, they can have a feast every day. Yes?
Is the process of bhakti the process of austerity?
Is the process of bhakti the process of austerity?
Is the process of bhakti a process of austerity?
Well, let's see, how do you define austerity? Austerity would mean doing something you would, in my book, doing something that you ordinarily wouldn't want to do, or not doing something that you would ordinarily want to do. So
that's life.
Yeah, it's life. But when one becomes Krishna conscious, the more you advance, the austerity decreases because you're not doing something you wouldn't want to do ordinarily. Because ordinarily you would want to serve Krishna, you would want to go out and preach. So sankirtan, no longer, you know, book distribution. Yeah. foot distribution is no longer an austerity. It becomes Kevalananda Khanda. It becomes simply a source of bliss. So in the beginning, tapasa, brahmacharena, samenacha, dhamenacha, in the beginning there's some austerity because we have to, let's say, neglect our ordinary or material impulses in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serve our spiritual master. But at the end, there's no austerity because it's simply happiness.